I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving week. Got to spend time with family and enjoy your loved ones. I'm excited, though, to start our series of Advent. It's Christmas is coming at us fast this year with a quick turnaround of us going from Thanksgiving to immediately thinking about Christmas being just 3.5 weeks away. But we are going to take time, as we have each year, to step away. As we talked last week, we're wrapping up Genesis. We'll give a final wrap-up, Lord willing, on the 29th. But we're going to take the next 4 Sundays to prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas together. And we do that through the series on Advent. Advent is a time of anticipation of Christ's coming. We reflect on His first coming, and we look forward to His second. But the theme that we're going to be looking at this year over the course of 4 weeks is the light has come. And we're going to be answering some questions over the next 4 weeks. And it's going to be an opportunity, what I hope and pray through this 4 weeks, is going to be an opportunity for us to want to have our hearts stirred with a greater affection for Christ, but also our hearts stirred with a greater affection for those who are lost and don't know the true hope of Christmas. So you're going to hear me push you all. I'm going to push us to be evangelistic this Christmas. We're going to see that we have no excuse not to be. I'm going to push us to be focused and to take action, to invite those who don't have a church home to come and join us as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Because it's an opportunity, the easiest, the most practical opportunity for us to proclaim the hope of the gospel, to live out our faith, and to share it with others. So we're going to be looking this morning at the God who is light, our first week. And I'll go over all of our questions in a moment. But as we start, I just want to ask the question, what is so great about Christmas? What's so great about Christmas? What's that? Jesus? Absolutely. Well, what's your favorite part of the Christmas holiday? Anybody? Y'all are free to speak. Gifts, Christmas Eve service, okay? Now, for the kids, it's always the presents, right? Jacob, you're right on. We love the kids. They love presents. As a college student, it was 4 weeks of no exams or classes, right? You can relate to that. As an adult, I think it's getting to see family. It's a sweet time of year. And I think as a parent, it's watching the joy of excitement on our kids' faces. As a pastor, and I've thought about this a lot, just like what I was saying earlier, it's having the opportunity to rehearse the gospel, to remind all of you that this is the easiest time of the year to share the gospel. It's easy because the door, when we feel like that hurdle is there to bridge the conversation, to introduce the gospel, that hurdle is gone. Like, everyone in the world is doing something, and it's brought to their attention that it's Christmas. Whether they know anything about Christ, whether they believe in the gospel, the opportunity is there, because all you got to do is point at something and you have an end in the conversation. It's easy for us. It's also the time of year when, like right now, we're a little low. I know Thanksgiving holiday, people are traveling. We don't have as many people here. But on Christmas Sunday, this place will have twice as many people in it. And to get people through the door on Christmas, you know what it takes? It takes you inviting them, and they're likely to come. So that's one of my goals is, okay, well, then we have a duty. We have a duty every Sunday of the year, every day of the year, as Christians, to proclaim the gospel. But we're going to take these next 4 weeks to rehearse it for our own sake and be prepared to share it with everyone who needs to hear it. So everywhere we turn, we are going to see people celebrating and preparing for this holiday. And we're not, contrary to the whole war on Christmas shtick that far too many Christians are eager to participate in, that's not what we're doing here. You have an opportunity to share the hope of the gospel that the world isn't celebrating, but at the holiday where the entire world is doing something. The world is celebrating the hope and joy of light coming into their darkness, but yes, some of them, most of them, it is the light of materialism. Well, guess what? You have a kinder, more fulfilling hope to reflect their attention to, redirect their attention to. For some, the light in their darkness is the light of family. Something good, but something that can become dangerously idolatrous and incredibly discouraging. You have the opportunity to point them to the light of a new family created by God. Some people are ready to simply celebrate and find any type of hope in what is a literally dark and lonely time of year. Yet you have the joy of the gospel and the love of Christ to share with them. Not just words, but you have lives, you have homes, you have meals that you can share with them to embody the spirit of the season. So yes, there's no reason that we should not be evangelistic during the Christmas and Advent season. That's why we're going to spend these next 3 or 4 weeks answering these questions. The first, what does it mean that God is light? Secondly, how has God entered our darkness? Thirdly, what does it mean to walk in the light? These first 3 weeks are questions for us to rehearse the gospel, to reflect on it, because then on our final week, we're going to ask the question of ourselves and of others when we, and I'm saying, when you invite them and they come, we pray that they come and sit with us to celebrate with us on December 22nd. We can ask the question, are you walking in the light? Because that's really the message of Christmas. We're going to be spending our time in 1 John 1, and you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to be asking the question, what does it mean that God is light? And how do we prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas in light of that truth? So let's read the text. It's just one verse. You can stand with me as we read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, You, Lord, are light. There is no darkness in You, and Lord, You have made Yourself known to us. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see this wondrous truth. Lord, put it on our hearts, Lord, a desire to not only know You, but to make You known to those who do not, who have believed lies, the lies that the world is telling them of where they can find fulfillment and hope, the lies of the world that tell them that they don't need You, they don't need their Creator. Lord, we have been exposed by Your light in the most wondrous, gracious way. Exposed by the light of Christ, Lord, we see our need because we see our sin. Lord, we see You in the person of Christ. And Lord, we are corrected. We are rebuked. And we are given hope. The Lord, may we see the light this Christmas. Bless us as we look at Your word this morning. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. What does it mean that God is light? Now, if you are familiar with 1 John, you'll understand we jumped into the middle of an introductory statement that we're going to be going back to in the weeks to come. But I want us to start out with this truth, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The good news of the gospel is that we have heard from Him. You know, John is reflecting back as the disciple who walked this earth with Jesus, who walked and knew God in the flesh, and he says, we have a message from Him. We've heard it, and we're now proclaiming it to you. This is the gospel. Christmas is the celebration of God's incarnation, the Word made flesh in His Son, Jesus Christ. How Jesus, who's come to make God the Father known, to reveal all that is true about God. That is why we celebrate Christmas. That's why it's such good news. God is making Himself known, and God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So what's so good, and what does it mean that God is light? Well, let's first get this definition of that God is light. We know that God is holy, perfect, and good. God is holy, perfect, and good. And He is the standard for all that is good and right. That He is light means we know that He is holy, He is perfect, He is good. There is no darkness in Him whatsoever. And at Christmas, we get to celebrate the revelation of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. We did not know God. We have lived in darkness due to Adam's sin and our subsequent sin. And the songs that we just sang about Christ, God entering into our darkness, it is God entering into our brokenness, into the sin, into the world that has been affected by sin in every way to make known the truth. So at Christmas, we get to remember Jesus' birth was this gracious revelation to us of the truth about who He is in a world that has rejected Him for its own. God is holy, perfect, and good. He is the standard for all that is good and right. He is the light. So I want to answer four things that we get to do of why Christmas is more wonderful because God is light. Four things. We're keeping it simple this Advent. How is Christmas more wonderful because God is light? The first is we get, and each one of these is going to start with that phrase, we get. We have the privilege, we have the honor, we have the opportunity to recognize that God is holy. When we celebrate Christmas, we get to recognize that God is holy. You see, if God had not entered into this world graciously making Himself known through Jesus Christ, being born, becoming like us, we wouldn't get to know who God is. We would be remaining in our sin, remaining in condemnation. But God has graciously made Himself known, and we get to recognize God's holiness. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the veil is lifted over our eyes so that we may see Christ, and in Christ we may see God for who He is. We see that God is holy. Charles Simeon says, light is perhaps the only thing which is incapable of being polluted, and therefore is peculiarly fit to represent the immaculate purity of God. God is holy. He's holy. I was getting to read the biggest story Bible with Benjamin the other night, and we got to the prophets, and reading the prophet Isaiah, and we see that there's only one word ever used threefold to describe God in all of Scripture, and it's the word holy, holy, holy. You see, Isaiah lived in an unholy land with an unholy people. And God graciously made Himself known through a vision to Isaiah. And when Isaiah saw the Lord, he heard the angels all around God declaring, holy, holy, holy. They're recognizing God's complete otherness. God is separate from us. He is perfect. He is incomprehensible in His greatness. He is holy, and we get to recognize that. We are confronted with that reality. You see, the problem with the world, with us living in the world that is characterized by sin, characterized by self, is that we fail to see who God is. We fail to see that God is worthy of our worship. And at Christmas, we are reminded that God is worthy of our worship, and we are reminded by seeing God take gracious action to make Himself known and to reveal His holiness to us. He is completely unlike us. Yet, He desires for us to know Him and to be like Him. We're invited, when we see God's holiness, to be reminded all the way back in Genesis. I mean, look at how when God, in the beginning, was God. And when God desires to create, one of the things that's fascinating is that what does He create first? He says, "Let there be light." What does that tell us about God's creation before the fall? That God, His creation is full of the demonstration of His glory, of His might, of His perfection, of His goodness. So what happens to His creation? Well, we know that He says, "It is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is very good," until what? Until Adam and Eve, deceived by the serpent, declared what? Is God good? Darkness enters in by the veiling of the truth about who God is. Sin enters into the world by introducing a lie about who God is. Is God good? Did He really say? Is He trustworthy? Does He know? And ever since then, we've been living in a world that continues to embrace those lies. But God, through the incarnation of His Son, enters into history, enters into time and place, where we as a human race encounter our God now in the flesh, undeniable, as Jesus reveals the goodness and holiness of God. At Christmas, it's more wonderful because God is light, and we get to recognize God in His holiness. We see His unspotted holiness. We see His righteousness. And this is an assurance to us. It's an assurance. It should be an assurance in a dark time, in a dark place. It's wonderful. And I'm so thankful that the early church fathers, they changed the dates. Yes, Christmas, if you want to go to the details. Originally, they didn't know the exact dates of Jesus' death and His birth, and they all celebrated it on March 25th. But later on in the church, that date was shifted to combat the pagan celebrations that were centered around the darkest time of the year and Saturnalia, which was a worship of pagan gods. And it's an opportunity for Christians to what? Put light into darkness. And for Christ, who entered into a dark world, it's an opportunity for them to remind what is our true hope in the midst of all this darkness. Yeah, the darkest day of the year will be December 22nd. But on December 25th, we're going to celebrate the light entering into our darkness. It's a difficult time. It's a time when life can be dark, when there's seasonal depression. Some of you all are already feeling it. I hate the fact that it's dark at 4:30. But it's also a dark time of year spiritually, where people have lost loved ones, and all of the good from former holidays, it doesn't feel like it's there. It's the time when those who've been betrayed or forgotten feel the weight of it as they look on and feel alone. It can be a dark time of year, but God has entered into it with the light of His holiness. And you see, that light, that holiness, means that that light is always good. There's no darkness in it. There's no tinge of disappointment possible in it. There's no danger of falsehood. When God enters into our reality through His Son, Jesus Christ, it is goodness that comes to us. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God is light. God is holy. There is nothing that changes about Him. There is no shadow. There is no darkness in Him. Secondly, we get to recognize that God is gracious. Christmas is more wonderful because God is light, and we get to recognize that God is gracious. The fact that God is light and in Him there is no darkness, it's not just that, but that He has made Himself known. We've already spoken of this, but it's the message that we have heard from Him. The message we've heard from Him, He has made Himself known. We get to recognize that God is gracious, because how did we end up in this mess? It's because of our willing rebellion against Him. The sin that we've all participated in. We're in this dark world because we, as John tells us, we would rather remain in the darkness than seek out and be seen in the light. So we get to recognize God is gracious. He didn't have to shine His light on us. He doesn't have to reveal Himself to us. God is gracious. You think, again, back to the garden. Adam and Eve, when they rebel against Him, He could have started over. But what does He desire to do? He promises them that through them, He's going to bring their offspring who will defeat the serpent, will defeat the lie. So God is gracious and He is patient. He does not destroy them immediately, but instead says, "I'm going to bring about something greater through you to prove what? His goodness, His holiness, His righteousness." And we see God's patience throughout the story of Scripture. God's patience with the people who continue to rebel against Him, who continue to ignore His commands, who refuse to see that the light is in Him, and instead continue to look for themselves. And we see that God is gracious and patient. But because we know that God is light and in them there is no darkness, we know that His patience is patience with a purpose. God's patience is there so that He might put on display His holiness and righteousness. So we see in the truth that God is light and in Him there is no darkness, He has revealed His righteousness. And that's why Paul can say in Romans that God is now the just and the justifier of the sinner. He has been patient as He has dealt with our sin and our rebellion. But as He reveals Himself, He shows and demonstrates that He is righteous and holy. We are confronted with that, we see that God cannot abide evil, which is darkness. He will not let the darkness remain. And when we know that God will not let the darkness remain, that darkness is not in Him, and we recognize, well, we are dark, our hearts are darkened by sin, we recognize, well, God has graciously intervened. He has not destroyed me or you as we deserve, but He's not left us in our sin. He has provided a way for us to see the truth. And that's the third thing that we get to recognize. Christmas is more wonderful because God is light, because we get to recognize that God is truth. We get to recognize that God is truth. As 1 John says, God is light and in Him there is no darkness. This means that not only does God always speak the truth, there is no falsehood in Him. There's nothing that can be said that is wrong with Him. All that is in Him is true, and He knows all things. God knows everything about us. He knows the truth about us, for He cannot see anything other than what is true. He knows all our sin. He knows all our brokenness, yet He still enters into our darkness and reveals the truth about ourselves that we have failed to see. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, that God knows us and still makes a plan to use us. How wonderful is this truth? But what is required of us in order to be used by God? We have to recognize that He is light, that He is truth, that He is holy, that He is trustworthy. At Christmas, we get to recognize that God is truth. We do that because we see how God has fulfilled all of His promises. You look back at the life and the ministry of Christ, and you look like looking through the Gospel of John, and you see He says, as the Scripture said, as the Scripture said. We look as we worked our way through Genesis, we saw God made promises to Abraham. And what does He continue to do? He fulfills those promises. We see Him fulfilled in Isaac. We see Him fulfilled in Jacob. We see Him fulfilled in the nation that is created. God keeps all of His promises. And at Christmas, we get to see the ultimate culmination of His promise fulfillment by looking to Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. He is the offspring that He promised the woman. He is the sacrifice that was necessary from the Old Testament. He is the King, the Son of David, that will rightly rule and shepherd the flock. He is the prophet greater than Moses who will proclaim the truth and do so perfectly. He is the fulfillment, for He is the better Israel. He is the one true Son. We get to recognize that God is truth, that He speaks the truth, that He keeps His promises. We have to recognize that we must see that. We must see that He is the truth. So finally, what does this mean? Christmas is more wonderful because God is light, and we get to recognize that God is who He says He is. Fittingly, in Sunday school this morning, we were looking at the story of Moses. I didn't plan this. But in chapter 3 of Exodus, we hear Moses say, or God approaches Moses at the burning bush and says, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" God says to him, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" God is light. We get to celebrate that at Christmas, and in doing so, we get to recognize that God is exactly who he says he is. He's exactly who he says he is. I am who I am. What does this mean? This means God is who he says he is. He is immutable. He's unchangeable. He's made himself known. There is no darkness in him. There is no lie in him. When he speaks the truth. Moses, as if he could not understand it, says, "What? Well, what am I to say?" And God reminds him, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who has kept all of his promises. I am has sent you." God is exactly who he says he is. So what is good about the coming of Jesus Christ? He's the Word who was with God and the Word who was God. He has come to make the Father known. At Christmas, we're confronted with the reality that we are in darkness because of our sin, our rebellion, our denial of who God is. We have perpetuated the lie that Adam and Eve received from the serpent and acted on in their rebellion. We failed to see who God is. We failed to see how God only speaks the truth. We fail to see that God is good and worthy of our worship. And at Christmas, through the incarnation, we have God enter into our world. Jesus comes and says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am." Jesus declares, "I am God in the flesh to reveal to you all that is true." And he does that in his ministry by demonstrating God's power. But he does it most clearly by his ministry, his work on the cross. God is holy. There is no darkness in him. Sin must be dealt with. And Jesus alone, God alone, can be the one who deals with it. If there was any doubt in our mind before, when we see Christ on that cross, innocent, imperfection, taking all the consequences of our guilt and imperfection, we see that God is who he says he is. We see that God is holy, holy, holy. That God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Christmas is an opportunity for us to recognize that God is who he says he is. He rejoices when we see and proclaim the truth about who He is. See, the great lesson about the story of Moses in Sunday school this morning was Moses was trying to find a way out. Maybe some of you hear my appeal to go share the gospel with your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family. You're saying, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can invite somebody to come and worship. That sounds intimidating. You don't know if you can share the gospel. Christmas gives us an opportunity because at Christmas we do what? We recognize that God is light. We recognize that God is who He says He is. So guess what? To share the gospel with somebody in the next day, the next few days, the next weeks, all you have to do is share the truth about who God is. You don't have to persuade them. God will do that work. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to come up with some explanation to try it. All you have to do is declare what God has already declared about Himself. That He is holy and righteous. That we are sinners in rebellion. But God will deal with our sin, and He's dealt with it in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You have the ability to go share this good news. And you don't have to overcomplicate it. You simply need to declare that God is who He says He is. Isaiah chapter 6, God made Himself known through that vision. Isaiah saw that God was holy, holy, holy. He was confronted in his sin, declaring, I am a man of unclean lips. The angel takes the hot coal that was before him and pushes it on his lips. The picture of atoning, of sin being dealt with, of purification happening. And then God declares, whom shall I send? Isaiah says, here am I, send me. When we see who God is, we see that He is the God who He says He is, then we are ready to declare, Lord, send me and let me proclaim what is true about You. We get to recognize that God is who He says He is. But this may first mean that you need to say and ask yourself, what lies have you believed about God? Have you failed to trust that He is good? Have you failed to trust that He is holy? Have you failed to believe that He has your best interest in mind? As we read this morning, have you failed to understand that you are exactly where you are supposed to be right now? And that God, because He is God, can and will use you to proclaim what is true about Him. Christmas is wonderful because we get to recognize that God is who He says He is. God is upending the lies that we've believed from the root. It's the power of the gospel that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, to put to shame the wisdom of the world by upending all the world's self-thought, self-proclaimed wisdom to put on display God's goodness and grace towards a rebellious mankind. God's patience with us. We get to see God's grace and mercy at work in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we get to see at Christmas light entering into a dark world. At Christmas, we get to see that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness whatsoever. In closing, I want to ask, because we must ask, the question of ourselves, and then ask the question as we share these truths with those who don't. Do you know God? Do you know this God, the one we've been talking about in Scripture? Do you know the God who has made Himself known to us in Jesus? Is the God that you've been worshiping, does He look like the God that we are reading about in Scripture? Does He look and act as the God who has made Himself known? Or have you been worshiping a God of your own making? This Christmas, I invite all of you, for you and the invitation for you to invite others to come to know the God who is light, the God who has entered into our darkness. This Christmas, let's look and prepare our hearts to receive God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, God made known to us. Let's see what He has done for us, see how He has revealed His character, and let's act in faith in obedience to His commands. His goodness and His revelation to us demands a response on our part. As we read in John 3, we can either believe and be declared righteous, or we can remain in a condemnation. Please don't stay in the darkness. See the God who is light. Know the God who is light. And proclaim to the lost all around us the God who is light this Christmas. My prayer for us is that we would do this, that God would use us to proclaim the hope of the gospel, the truth about who He is, to friends, family, co-workers who need to hear this hope. Let's not keep it to ourselves this Christmas. Let's not be content with a gathering that's just wonderful where we get together and we sing songs. Let's not be content to keep this truth to ourselves. Because to do so would be to fail to see the God who already reached out to us. Let us be light as we declare the God who is light. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for making Yourself known to us. We thank You for revealing, Lord, our unbelief, for exposing the lies that we have believed about You. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, fill us with Your light. Just as You confronted Moses in his unbelief, Lord, give us, Lord, a true understanding, a revelation of Your character, just as You did for Moses, as You did for Isaiah. Help us to see who You are so that we might live and act in light of that truth. Not living according to lies, but living according to the revelation of who You are in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us look to Jesus and By looking to him, may we see you in all your goodness and glory. May we see your grace. May we see your holiness. May we see your power. Lord, may we be changed. Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, may we not forget the glory that is at stake here. May we not be content with simple stories that don't declare the glory of your revelation. So Lord, this Christmas, may your light shine. Shine in our hearts. Lord, through us, Lord, shine your light into the dark crevices of Harlan and Harlan County. Let us shine your light, the truth about who you are, to a people who need to hear it. And Lord, may you bring many more to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to an understanding of you, of the God who created them. The Lord be with us. We ask all this in Christ's name. This time we get to reflect on the gospel through participating in communion. So if my volunteers, the servers, would go ahead and make their way forward. We partake of this meal to reflect on the gospel, to remind one another that Christ's body was broken for us and that his blood was shed for us. We partake of it as a family, recognizing in our family, partaking this unifying action that we our brothers and sisters who've trusted in this promise, that this is our hope, what Christ has done for us. So let us remember together the work of Christ to atone for our sins and to make us new. Now, if you've not yet trusted in Christ, this meal is not for you. This meal is limited to those who have accepted Christ, who have trusted in his body, trusted in his blood, and have declared themselves a follower of Christ through the act of baptism. If you have questions about what that looks like, you can ask me, and I'd love to walk you through those next steps. But if not, don't partake of this meal yet, but we pray that you would soon. So you can stand up once the praise team leads us in song.